Saturday, February 21st, 2004. My name is Robert E. McCormack. I'm going to share four versions of a heartbreaking ballad, and I'll introduce each of them. As an introduction, let me share with you. My great-grandmother, Frances Jane Ratliff McCormack, was heartbroken and distraught after losing her two little girls in a house fire in the early 1870s. This has been said to have happened in Carter County, Kentucky, and it was in the local newspapers of the time. The 1870 census shows Frances Jane living in Greenup County with her children, and her occupation is listed as seamstress. However, in the 1860 census, we find Frances Jane and her husband Floyd living in Carter County, Kentucky. The status of their marriage at the time of the tragedy in the 1870s is somewhat fuzzy, and I have not been able to locate any extant newspapers giving the story of the fire. Existing newspapers of that day are rare and they're fragmented. It's my desire that someday someone will locate a newspaper giving the account of this fire. Members of my family always said that Frances Jane died of heartbreak at the age of 33. She was the wife of Reverend Floyd Olson McCormack, a Methodist circuit minister. Although I have been told that such a ballad about the tragedy existed, I had not seen it until a copy of the words was located by genealogical researcher Teresa Kleiber of Rush, Kentucky. She found the ballad in Ballad Makin' in the Mountains of Kentucky by Gene Thomas. As you listen to the four versions of the ballad, notice that there are some variations, but the story remains generally the same. The ballad has been perpetuated by oral tradition. Anne McMeans Strong seems to combine a couple of the verses into one verse and has a final verse that is missing from the others. Also, notice that the version sung by Walsh Nelson, Berea College, in 1959, omits the first verse included by the others, and he calls his rendition, "Last Wednesday Night I Spied a Light." His title words are the beginning words of the second verse included in the other versions. You'll also notice that the version sung by the country gentleman refers to her little boys, but census records reveals they were two infant girls named Annie and Savinia. I will share all four versions for you to draw your own conclusions. It's a sad story, and one that my family was very reluctant to talk about. Fortunately, others outside the family have kept the story alive for over 130 years. For the sake of my family history, I am grateful for that. Let's examine the first sung version. A distant cousin, Carl McGlone of Olive Hill, Kentucky, put me in touch with his cousin, Ruth Strong Frank of Tracy, California. She shared with me a tape of her 90-year-old mother, Anne McMeans Strong, singing the ballad, which she called Two Little Girls. Now, Anne Strong says that her mother put the tune to the words. Louise McGlone dated one of the brothers of the little girls in Quincy, Kentucky, about 1880. Now, listen to Annie McMeans Strong sing her version of the ballad.
I forget the name of the story that was in there. It was Beauty and the Beast and different ones, you know, stories like that was in that book. And I sent away our little copy signatures and got that. I think I had to send 10 and so much change. So I got that.
And what year was that?
Well, I was 12 years old.
And you were born in 1885.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been 1897.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you tender-hearted, your attention I will call. You wonder how it started from a missing one and all. On Wednesday night there was a light seen shining on the hill. Oh, mother, and with all her might, but everything was still. Two little maids had gone to bed before their mother came. I'll get some liniment, she said, and soon return again. She went to a neighbor's house, 100 yards away, and there did not mean to stay. They heard a noise like thunder as the flames began to roar. It was an awful wonder that she did not go to the door. But when she started home again, her house was in a flame. She cried, "My baby, you are gone, and I'm the one to blame." They burst the door asunder as the flames rolled o'er her head. She cried aloud, no wonder, she found her babe folk dead. These little flames lay on the ground, they each lay face to face. As they were intimate around, each other did embrace. There's more to it, but so much of it I can't. Something about, you know, if we lived with you, dear Martha, we both had grown old, we could not purchase what we have, although if we'd had a house of gold. And, you know, her husband left her after that, and her babies were gone and everything. It was really an awful sad thing. My mother remembered all about it. She put the tune in it, too, that this old man, that old crippled man, I forget his name, that he wrote the story. It was in the papers. Because it wasn't papered then like they are now, you know, it was about once a week or something like that.
And didn't your mother know that he, one of the brothers of his?
Oh, she used to go with one of them.
And that was in Quincy, Kentucky.
Near Quincy, Kentucky.